with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And some say that in a parallel universe, he has a starring role in all the films he hates. It's Mark Searby.
Oh, dear. Oh, I mean, that's...
Is there a lot of films?
Do you know what? That's a good question, actually. I don't think there is.
Not a huge list. I've never heard you really go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Not often, anyway. Occasionally, obviously, you know, we've had really, really bad films. There's not a list of films that I would... Well, there is a list of films I absolutely detest, yes. But, you know, it's not as long as I think a lot of people probably think it is.
I think we should do that as a bonus feature one day.
What, the films that I...
top 10 worst films ever.
Oh, I don't even know where it would start, to be honest with you. I've got an idea of a few of them.
Got a couple.
Yeah, a few of them.
That's a good one for a rainy day.
It is a good one, actually. Yeah, now you've got me thinking.
If you're having a bad day, ring me up and whatever.
We'll have a chat about it, yeah. Yeah, you got me thinking now. Yeah, but then...
Film critic therapy.
Do you know, the thing is, I don't like talking about terrible movies once we've done the review because it just gives more... You know, it just gives more airtime to them, really. And the thing is, you don't want... I want to talk about really good films, films that... You know, people are going to go and see, or films that people have missed, or something like that. You know, that we reviewed and said it's really good, and nobody saw it. So I'd much rather give more time to that. You know, there's a one of the forums that I go on. There's a thread that basically says, "What's one underrated film that you would recommend to everybody that probably loads of people have never seen?" And it's like, see, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
That's what we want from you.
Exactly. You know, that's the type of thing. So I'm like, okay. So as much as, yeah, I could compile a list of terrible movies and there would be probably quite a few on there that people go, I've never seen that, which is fine. You know, you've done yourself well. I would much rather do a list of films that people sort of overlooked or, you know, they just went by the wayside that deserve to be seen still to this day.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It keeps you in with a chance of getting to the Oscars, getting your invite.
Exactly.
To backstage parties.
Exactly. You know. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, maybe we'll have to do that at some point. Maybe we'll have to do that.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Go along.
Yeah.
Don't fancy hosting it for obvious reasons.
No.
What you got for us this week, Bob?
So, basically, I've got Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, of course you have. It's all going on.
There we go. It's all going on. Yes.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes. And can I just say as well, no apostrophes. No commas in between that.
Oh, yeah. Now that's a point. So that's a grammatical pain.
Yes. It's all one sentence. Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's the story of an aging Chinese immigrant who is swept up in an insane adventure where she alone can save the world by exploring other universes, connecting with the lives she could have led.
Another multiverse. Okay.
Another multiverse film, basically.
Yes.
So we had the one last week, greatly underwhelmed. This week, do you know what? More filmmaking like this, please. More films like this. Films that defy standard film tropes and conventions. And instead, what they do is they just get everything into the mix and they throw it and they go, right, let's see what happens. And almost all the things in this movie work perfectly. So as I said, more individual filmmaking, please, because this film is a delight from start to finish. It is a head spinner. Okay, now you've seen the trailer
and I was spinning round in my chair. I was like, my God.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, you've only seen the trailer. When I saw the trailer when it first came out, I was like, I don't know what's going on, but it sounds and looks amazing. It is a head spinner. You do really have to keep up because otherwise you're going to find yourself lost in the multitude of universes that the protagonist finds themselves in. I will say this, it is totally worth keeping up with because the film switches between family drama and science fiction and action adventure with relative ease. The first couple of times it happens, it's all done with a lot of comedy, so it's very funny. Then when it continues to do it, it switches to full-on action. And it doesn't disappoint in those stakes either. That's
nice.
It just really goes for it. So I don't want to say too much more. This is the problem, because otherwise I'm going to spoil it. So what can I say? Here's what I think I can get away with without spoiling it, is that Michelle Yeoh, who plays the central character, is absolutely brilliant in the lead role. She plays Evelyn. Now, Michelle Yeoh, people might remember her. You know, recently we saw her in Shang-Chi. She was in one of the Bond movies, Die Another Day, maybe. I'm thinking, I can't quite remember.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow, thank you. Tomorrow Never
Dies.
That was the one. And, you know, going back even further, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon as well.
Oh, yeah.
So she plays Evelyn, who is a woman who just wants to expand the family washateria business, but her tax returns are under scrutiny from the tax woman.
Oh, yeah. See, that evil common.
Yes. Tax woman, when you do see this, keep an eye out to see who it is underneath all of the layers there. Yes.
I couldn't quite get it from the trailer. I was like, I recognise the face.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to leave it hanging.
Yes.
But I feel like,
yeah. So basically, she has to go to the tax office to take her tax returns. And she goes with her dad, who's in a wheelchair, and her husband as well. They get to the elevator. They go in it. And then something happens. And it changes everything, basically. That's when the adrenaline kicks in of you going, what's happening? I don't know what's going on. What is happening? This is crazy. And it goes all action adventure. I think Michelle Yeoh's fighting in this is easily as good as her work in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I mean, the woman really packs a punch and a kick and many other things, including the use of office supplies as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I love
any action scene involving staplers is
staplers
well
and other things as well. Yeah. I love how easy Michelle Yeoh switches between this homely, you know, businesswoman, housewife, into full on deranged action star. I don't think many action stars, male or female, could do it so effortlessly like she does here. It's done perfectly. It's really natural as well. In a movie where it's all about multiverses and whatever else, it still feels very natural. You're kind of like, okay, that seems fine to me. You know,
totally normal to be doing this.
Exactly. So my suggestion on this, okay, is don't read any more into it. Don't listen to anything else either, because you're going to spoil the twists and the turns and the surprises that will leave your jaw on the floor. I mean, there was a couple of times where I was just like, I can't believe this. This is brilliant. How are they? What are they doing? Where is this going? You know, this is why I liked it so much. It's just, it's funny. It's violent. In a weird way, quite easy to follow, considering there's multiverses. You know, and obviously we were talking about multiverse last week, movie.
It's a bit of a thing at the moment,
yes,
isn't it? Yeah.
Marvel, I think there's probably people in Marvel HQ looking at Everything Everywhere All at Once and going, why couldn't we make ours as simple as that and yet as complicated as that and as action-packed as that? I genuinely think Marvel could never get anywhere close to making a multiverse movie like this one at all. It's top-notch filmmaking from top to bottom. It really is.
Nice. So basically in the plot storyline, they literally did throw everything everywhere all at once. But it worked.
Well, that's the point. And it wouldn't surprise me if they went, what's the title? And you just kind of went, well, what do you do? You know, we've got everything. We've got it everywhere and it's all at once. Well, why don't we have that as the title? Yeah, okay,
that'll
fine.
Work.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's that type of... But it's that type of... bravado filmmaking and that type of fearlessness that makes us, you know, it makes filmmakers make something like this. This is why I'm saying more original filmmaking like this, because it stands out so much.
Excellent. So where is this? I mean, presumably it's out everywhere.
Is it
all at once?
It's only in cinemas at the moment. So it's only in cinemas.
So it's not everywhere. It's just,
yeah, it's not everywhere. It's in cinemas. It's
all at once.
Well, yeah, it's all at once. Yes, as well. Yeah, well, not all at once. You know, staggered release times as well. So, yeah, it is everything. Obviously, it's not everywhere, and it's not all at once. So, yeah.
Presumably will be at some point. But
oh, yeah, absolutely.
See the action scenes on the big screen.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's something to be said about seeing action on the big screen when it's done really, really well. And this one does it really, really well. And also, as I said, you'll laugh a lot at it, a heck of a lot, more than I thought I would, to be honest. But it just works all the way through. Just works.
Brilliant. More like this then, we reckon.
Yes, please. Yes, great. Thank you.
Cool. What else you got for us, Mark?
So, talking about action-adventure, we've got one on DVD and Blu-ray now, Uncharted. This is the story of street-smart Nathan Drake, who is recruited by seasoned treasure hunter Victor Sully Sullivan to recover a fortune amassed by Fernando Magellan and lost 500 years ago by the House of Moncada.
Okay, there's a lot of big names in there.
There's a lot of... Yes. So this is based on a very popular computer game series.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes, Uncharted, yes. And obviously, you know, films based on computer games have not been good up until the past few years.
It doesn't always translate.
Yes, you're right. It doesn't always translate. There are more terrible ones than there are good. I mean, good ones I could probably, you know, I could probably fit on the palm of my hand, to be honest with
Resident
you.
Evil, would you call that? That's right.
The first one's pretty good.
Yeah, it got a bit carried away.
Yeah, after that, maybe not so much. Tomb Raider, no. Others. Super Mario Brothers, no. Sonic, yes. Detective Pikachu, yes. You know, but this is what I'm saying. It's only in recent years has somebody managed to find this sort of winning formula. You know, I'm reliably informed. I've never played these games, okay? But I'm reliably informed that, you know, they are very, very popular. And when you have...
Definitely heard of them. Now you mention it.
Yeah.
I've never played it.
When you have very, very popular computer games, it makes sense for somebody to go, why don't we make that into a movie, you know, or try to make it into a movie. Yeah. So here we have Tom Holland playing the lead character of Nathan Drake in a sort of Tom Cruise in Cocktail meets Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones, but nowhere near as good. Okay.
Okay. You know, that is painted a beautiful picture.
Yeah. So this character, Nathan Drake, just sort of exists in this space that is occupied by about a million other action adventure lead heroes that we've all forgotten about within weeks of seeing them on the big screen or on the small screen or whatever else, you know. And the same is going to happen here, to be honest with you. There is nothing interesting about Drake or Soleil or any of the people they meet along the way. The adventure part of the film comes and goes without any real impact. It is a pretty simple adventure storyline too. There isn't loads of twists and turns. There tries to be. It doesn't work out because you kind of know what's happening. Everything that makes it into this movie is quite a dull watch. Apart from, there are two action set pieces in this movie. One involves Nathan Drake jumping out of a plane while strapped to some heavy boxes, and then a car coming flying after, well, dropping out of the plane.
Oh, yeah, that's in the trailer.
Yes.
That looks pretty epic.
Yeah, so that's a good set piece. Then there is the finale, which I can tell you about. I won't spoil it as to what happens, but the finale involves helicopters carrying old-fashioned pirate ships.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So think about that. Helicopters carrying big, old-fashioned pirate ships. Okay. It's bizarre. But
Pirates of the Caribbean meets Avatar.
No, Pirates of the Caribbean meets Black Hawk Down.
Oh, there we go. That's
Bizarre, but it does kind of work. But I am reliably informed by somebody who has played the computer games that these are in the computer games, these set pieces.
Oh,
so it makes sense to include them in there as well. And I have to say, as I said, you know, they are done pretty well. I liked that about it. I liked those two set pieces. I didn't like the rest of the film. The rest of the film is quite dull. You know, the heist at the beginning is quite lifeless. The interaction between Drake and Sully is desperately trying to be hip and cool and sarcastic as well. comes off
yeah.
looking and sounding very desperate, to be honest with you. You know what? I think I can see why they cast Tom Holland in the lead role. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he looks like he suits this.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've seen him doing the running and jumping in the Spider-Man movies. So I get that. I get it. That's fine. But the film really doesn't offer anything for him to get his teeth into here. That's the thing. It's very generic. I think if were it not for Tom Holland's charm and entertainment factor, then the film would be a real stinker. But, you know, he's got that sort of entertainment factor that even if he's in a bad movie, which this is, you kind of think, well, maybe something will happen. He'll do something or, you know, whatever else. And I think
he's likable, isn't he?
Yeah, he's likable. I think that's the thing. And that in turn makes this film just about watchable, just about. Just don't expect to be remembering this in 6 months or even 6 weeks, to be honest with you.
Oh, I mean, kudos to the writers and directors for having completed the entire video game series to research the story. And that's probably a fair amount of life.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. But, you know, I mean, the whole point of this is probably to do another Uncharted movie. I really can't see it. I mean, having said that, though, they got another Tomb Raider movie, didn't they? And the first one, the first one did very well at the box office because obviously it was a huge computer game. Now we're kind of inundated with computer games, and there is that line set in the sand between computer games and movies, and that transition doesn't work that well. Only recently, but then it's not been a straightforward transition. You know, as I said, Sonic, quirky, funny, bonkers. Detective Pikachu, film noir, basically. I think anything that is either horror or action adventure doesn't really translate into computer games that into films. I don't think, you know, I'm struggling like to think of anything.
The Sims in a film.
You laugh.
You imagine. But
I'm sure that was announced several years ago they were going to do a Sims movie. You know, but look, let's face it.
Just Big Brother, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But let's face it, they've made a movie out of Playmobil. They've made several Lego movies. They're making a Barbie movie as well. So, you know, nothing is off the table nowadays. That's the thing.
Literally anything.
Anything. Anything goes.
Nothing is Uncharted.
Oh, good joke.
Oh, dear. Yes, thanks. Where's this one out?
So this is DVD. On DVD, Blu-ray, and, you know, on digital download from all your usual places.
You can stick it in the PlayStation or the Xbox console to watch it, but you might prefer to play the game.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Yes, you might. Yeah, you might think, you know what, I'm just going to play the game instead. As I said, I've not played it. I've never seen anybody playing it either, but I know that obviously millions and billions of people have played this computer game franchise.
Nice. What else you got for us, Mark?
So I thought we'd go to Australia for the next film.
Oh, we're going down under.
Yes. So we're going to do The Drover's Wife, The Legend of Molly Johnson. Now, this is about a lonely bushwoman who struggles to raise her children and run the family farm while her husband is away. So, this film is based on a play that was then made into a book by the director, Leah Purcell. So it's safe to say that she knows the story inside out. Also, Leah Purcell plays Molly Johnson in the film as she did on the stage. And
this is her passion.
It is her passion. And I have to say, she's terrific. I mean, granted, she knows the character, but there's a big difference between going from the stage to the screen. That's the thing. So when we first meet Molly, she's this homely woman looking after the kids, sweeping the homestead, generally, you know, getting on with life until she's hoping her husband returns. It's only when a wanted outlaw comes onto her property do we see this different side to Molly. And this is where the film switches from a drama into a thriller. And maybe I'm thinking just about touches the horror genre as well, because Molly is ready to go all guns blazing to defend her property and her kids as well. So the question then arises of What if the person you thought was against you is actually on your side, and those you thought were there to help you are actually there to hinder you?
Oh, okay.
So big questions nice. In this movie. Yeah. And this is something that Molly has to come to terms with in a very quick way, because the wanted man on her property has a dark secret that does involve Molly as well. This then puts into a different perspective of what Molly's been doing up to that point. I should say that the film is set in 1893 in the Australian outback. So it deals with racism and Aboriginal heritage alongside obviously being a family drama thriller as well. It's a taut piece of work that it's kind of interesting because it doesn't keep dialing up the tension or the intensity of it as you would kind of expect it to. Instead, it sort of naturally plays out and instead makes these thought-provoking suggestions, statements, and observations. And I think you're all forming a different answer to what is being thrown at you, depending on, you know, your race, your nationality, when you were born as well. So it's a really interesting movie to look at through loads of different set of eyes as well. Mm-hmm. And I like that about it. I think it does benefit from being shot on the vast plains of the Australian outback as well. I mean, the cinematography is amazing in this.
The trailer looked pretty awesome.
Yes.
Like a great set.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic, you know. And it does show just how alone Molly is as well. That's the thing. So it gives you that real sense of, well, if something happens to her, who's going to know? There's
no one around for Molly.
Exactly. Yeah. Who's going to know? Her kids, possibly. Got to wait for the husband to return. That's about it. This is a mother just trying to protect her kids. And then when this wanted man turns up and he's got revelations that he tells Molly that changes everything, all of a sudden, as I said, the film just opens up even more. Not with intensity, but just with these thought-provoking ideas. It's a really good little indie movie that I think is going to catch quite a few people off guard with what it's doing in its storytelling. I was really taken back with this movie I was really impressed with it. I've got to say, I, as I said, wasn't sure what I was going to say. Saw the trailer, much like you, and he was like, yeah, it looks fantastic. But what's the storyline like? I came away going, really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed it. A story that we don't see on the screen. I mean, you know, it might be seen a lot in Australia, but we don't see it over here in the UK that much. So when we have something like this, I think it packs even more of a punch because we're not flooded with stories like this because, you know, some of these stories don't translate well overseas. But this one does. It's a really good film. Really good film.
Good to ask you that. So you don't need to, you know any of the backstory at all to go into this.
No, you don't know. No, I think that's the good thing about it is that you go into it and the film gives you enough information about Molly and her circumstances and her family. And then obviously it doubles down by given these revelations and you go, okay, right, fine. So yeah, it's a really good movie. Really good.
Excellent. Hats off to Lea Purcell.
Yeah, absolutely. Round. Absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. You know, I mean, as I said, stage, then a book, then a film. Yeah. And she's,
what next?
Well,
PlayStation game,
musical, maybe. I don't know. But
yeah,
you know, if this is where it finishes now for this story, it's gone out on a real high.
Amazing. Excellent. What else you got for us next week, Mark?
So next week, we're going to be talking about Benediction, which is...
addiction to Benedict Cumberbatch.
It's the new movie from Terence Davis, who actually lives here in Essex.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. He lives here in Essex. So we're going to be talking about that. It's a World War One period piece. Then on DVD, we're going to be talking about the new Jennifer Lopez movie. It's called Marry Me. You might have heard the song. Uh-huh. That's very, very catchy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then also on Disney Plus, we're going to be talking about Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Back to the old days.
Yep. They have a movie coming out, so we're going to talk about that in great depth. And we're going to try not to sing the theme tune.
I thought we were going to have to.
But yeah, I don't know.
Practice our high-pitched voices.
You see, already, as soon as I said Chip and Dale, in my mind, as I'm telling you what we're doing, it's going round in my head, and I'm thinking, don't sing it. So I'm not singing it, okay? We're not doing it.
Not this week.
Not this week. Yeah, maybe next week, yeah.
Yeah. Once we've practiced the words.
Once we've got the lyrics printed out.
Mark, I look forward to a high-pitched review next week.
Yes, yeah. It will be. Well, Chip and Dale, Jennifer Lopez, she can reach the high notes as well.
She's got the scales.
She's got the scales. So yes, absolutely. Film reviews and
movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.